Imagine watching someone just completely bypass your entire digital life. Like they get into your bank, your email, your private messages, just everything.
Right, and they do it without even breaking a sweat.
Exactly. And the craziest part, they didn't even have to hack you. You actually opened the front door for them, smiled, and just let them walk right in.
Which is terrifying when you really think about it.
It's beyond terrifying. Today, we're looking at a $20 million heist that basically proves the digital security you trust every single day is, well, already completely obsolete.
Yeah, I mean, it is a massive wake-up call for all of us. We are watching the fundamental rules of digital trust, hardware ownership, and even just basic online privacy get rewritten in real time.
So, welcome to today's deep dive. We're digging into a stack of breaking tech developments from April 14th, 2026. And the through line here is absolutely wild.
It really is a crazy day for tech news.
Right. We've got an international FBI cyber bust that literally reads like a thriller. We've got hardware prices just imploding.
Oh, the hardware market is a mess right now.
It's a total mess. Plus, we have this massive, highly ironic twist in the smartphone market. And we're seeing extreme new safety mandates in the gaming world that are sparking some really serious backlash.
Yeah, if you just glance at these headlines individually, I mean, it feels chaotic, like nothing makes sense.
Totally.
But there is a very clear unifying theme here. Power and accessibility are shifting, and they're shifting rapidly. Technology that used to belong exclusively to, massive corporations or these elite state-sponsored hackers, it's now just sitting in the hands of everyday people.
Exactly. And our mission today is to cut through that information overload. We're going to connect the dots across all these seemingly separate developments to show you the unseen forces driving the tech world right now.
Because it's all connected.
It is. Because whether you are, buying a new phone, upgrading your computer, or just letting your kid play a game online, these shifts are directly impacting your wallet and your family's security. Okay, let's unpack this, starting with that $20 million cyber heist.
Yeah, so the digital black market is experiencing this terrifying level of democratization right now. I mean, the barrier to entry for executing global cybercrime has essentially hit bargain basement prices.
And the details on this specific bust are just staggering. So there was this massive joint operation between the FBI's Atlanta office and the Indonesian National Police.
A huge international effort.
Right. And they completely dismantled this global phishing network known as W3LL. The scope of this operation is, frankly, hard to wrap your head around. Over $20 million in attempted fraud.
Wow.
17,000 victims worldwide, and get this, more than 25,000 stolen verified accounts actively being peddled on the black market.
Which is just a massive volume of compromised data.
It really is. And they finally arrested the developer behind this whole thing, a suspect known simply as GL.
It's a huge victory for international law enforcement, obviously. The fact that the Atlanta FBI and Indonesian authorities had to collaborate so closely, I think it really shows how completely borderless this crime has become. But honestly, the sheer volume of the fraud, as big as it is, isn't the most alarming part.
No.
No, the most alarming part is the business model that GL was actually running.
Yes. The business model is exactly what stopped me in my tracks. Because this wasn't, a single hacker sitting in a dark room manually typing code to steal your password.
Right, it wasn't some guy in a hoodie.
Exactly. GL essentially created a consumer product. They built a ready-made point-and-click phishing kit that allowed literally anyone to generate fake login pages. Pages that look completely indistinguishable from legitimate banks or corporate networks.
It's basically plug-and-play cybercrime.
And a price for this kit, $500.
Which is just remarkably cheap for the kind of damage it can cause.
I mean, it's like buying a criminal enterprise in a box franchise.
It really is.
For the price of a mid-tier tablet, any aspiring scammer can just buy access to a tool capable of launching a $20 million fraud campaign.
Yeah, that ROI is insane.
But here's the part that genuinely terrifies me. This W3LL kit easily bypassed two-factor authentication, MFA.
Yep, the golden standard.
Right. The exact digital deadbolt that every single IT department on the planet tells us is our ultimate foolproof protection. So, how does a $500 off-the-shelf kit just completely bypass the global standard for security? Are everyday internet users just sitting ducks here?
Well, to understand why this works, we have to look at the mechanics of how the kit actually operates. phishing kits like W3LL, they don't try to guess your password or, you know, intercept your secondary code via text message.
Because that's too hard?
Yeah, that's old school hacking, too much effort. Instead, they act as a highly sophisticated middleman. So they create a perfect replica of a login page.
Okay.
You go to it, you enter your credentials, and you enter your MFA code, genuinely thinking you're logging into your actual bank.
Right, because the website looks totally normal to the user.
Yeah, exactly. You don't suspect a thing. But behind the scenes, the kit instantly takes those details, passes them to the real bank, logs in on your behalf, and steals what is called the authenticated session token.
Okay, let's pause there for a second. What exactly is a session token? Like, break that down for me.
Sure. So, think of it like getting your hand stamped at a really exclusive club.
Okay, I like this.
The bouncer, which is your bank security system, they already checked your ID and your secret password. That was your MFA code.
Right.
And once you pass, you get a hand stamp so you can walk around the club freely without showing your ID at every single room you enter.
Because you're already verified?
Exactly. Now, the hacker, using the W3LL kit, they don't care about stealing your ID. They essentially, they chop off your hand, take your stamp, and use it to walk right past the bouncer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have the golden ticket that says, I am already verified. The bank thinks it's you.
That is a terrifyingly vivid analogy, but it makes perfect sense. I mean, they are literally just letting you unlock the door for them, and then they slip inside wearing your jacket.
Precisely. And that's why security is no longer about just building a stronger door. It's about verifying the actual ground you're standing on before you even put the key in.
You have to check the URL, the environment, everything.
Exactly. We have to move from this mindset of, you know, I have MFA, so I am perfectly safe, to a mindset of continuous skepticism.
So there's a common thread here that I think we really need to pull on. You mentioned earlier that power is shifting into the hands of the individual.
Right.
And just as elite cyber weapons have been democratized into these cheap kits for everyday criminals, server-level computing power is now being demanded by everyday tech users.
Oh, absolutely.
And that demand is causing the legitimate hardware market to absolutely implode.
It really is. The jump from the cybercrime arms race to the silicon arms race is a perfect parallel here. I mean, the hardware market is experiencing a level of scarcity and price inflation that is just structurally warping consumer tech right now.
Okay, so let's look at the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 5090. This is NVIDIA's absolute flagship consumer graphics card. It launched in January of this year, 2026, with an official price tag of $1,999.
Which is not cheap.
Not at all. $2,000 for a graphics card is already a massive, eye-watering investment. But this thing sold out globally within the first 5 minutes of release.
5 minutes. The demand curve entirely eclipsed the supply chain. Just completely blew past it.
And the secondary and third-party markets immediately capitalized on that gap.
Brutally.
Right now, companies like Asus, MSI, and Gigabyte, they're selling these exact same cards for anywhere between $2,500 and $3,500.
It's wild.
That is up to a 75% markup in just 3 months. And market analysts are predicting that by the end of 2026, the RTX 5090 could easily hit $5,000.
Yeah, the projections are pretty grim.
I have to challenge these numbers because they seem totally divorced from reality. Like, I'm looking at the specs for this card. 32 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory, 21,760 CUDA cores, and a power draw of 575 watts.
It's a monster.
575 watts. Like, you practically need to rewire your house just to plug this thing in. Are everyday gamers actually paying used car prices just to play video games?
No, they aren't. And honestly, that's the critical misunderstanding driving this whole frenzy. Gamers are actually being entirely priced out of their own ecosystem right now.
Okay, wait. If it's not gamers buying the ultimate gaming card, who is driving a 5-minute global sellout?
The culprit is a perfect storm. You've got severe supply constraints colliding with this massive new vector of demand, which is local AI processing.
Ah, AI. Of course.
Right. Let's look at those specs you just mentioned. AI models don't just calculate information. They have to hold massive data sets in their short-term memory all at once to generate, you know, text, images, or video.
Okay.
And that's what GDDR7 memory is. It's basically an ultra-fast superhighway for all that data.
So the AI gold rush has basically caused a global traffic jam for those specific memory chips.
Exactly. So supply is inherently constrained right out of the gate. And then you have those 21,760 CUDA cores.
Right, the processing part.
Think of a standard computer processor, like a few really smart managers who do tests sequentially, you know, one by one.
Sure.
CUDA cores are like an army of tens of thousands of factory workers who can all do tiny math problems simultaneously. And AI requires parallel processing, which means it desperately needs that army.
So everyday people are basically trying to build server farms in their bedrooms.
Essentially, yes. You've got researchers, small business owners, indie film studios, and developers. They're all realizing that running complex AI models locally is ultimately way cheaper than paying these exorbitant hourly fees for cloud computing.
Oh, that makes sense.
For them, a $3,500 RTX 5090 isn't some overpriced gaming toy. It's a vital piece of commercial infrastructure. I mean, it pays for itself in just a few months of saved cloud fees.
It's like trying to buy a commercial tractor to mow your suburban lawn, just because suddenly everyone in your neighborhood decided to start an industrial farming business.
That is exactly what's happening.
It completely breaks the scale for the average user. So, if you are looking to upgrade your tech anytime soon, you really have to understand that the high-end hardware market is turning into an exclusive luxury space.
Very exclusive.
You either need to act in the first 5 minutes on launch day, or you basically just have to resign yourself to sitting out the entire generation.
It's a harsh reality. And this hardware arms race isn't just limited to massive desktop computers drawing 500 watts of power.
Right.
The battle for the most premium real estate of all the screens in our pockets is also seeing a massive paradigm shift.
Oh, man. Let's talk about the phones.
Yeah.
Because the global smartphone market share for the first quarter of 2026 just dropped, and we have a major plot twist.
A really surprising one.
Samsung has officially clawed its way back to the number one spot globally. They've captured 22% of the market, pushing Apple down to number two at 20%, with Xiaomi trailing in third at 14%.
Which is a big shakeup.
Huge!
Yeah.
And Samsung won this round on the back of the Galaxy S26, which has just been a monumental success.
Yeah, they really executed flawlessly on the fundamentals this year. They didn't rely on a gimmick. They just delivered highly competitive pricing, a really refined design, and major improvements to the camera and the battery life.
Just giving people what they actually want.
Exactly. Plus, they deployed a highly aggressive and successful strategy in emerging markets, which is an area where Apple traditionally struggles to compete on price.
It's fascinating because people always compare Apple and Samsung to two heavyweight boxers just trading the championship belt back and forth.
Right, the classic rivalry.
But looking at these business mechanisms, it's really less like a boxing match and more like a game of high-stakes commercial real estate.
How do you mean?
Well, Samsung spent the last 7 years building an entirely new neighborhood, the foldable phone market. They normalized the technology, they got people used to the idea of a screen that bends in half, and they absorbed all the early failures.
Which were pretty rough.
Very rough. And now, right when the property values in that neighborhood are peaking, Apple is showing up to buy the penthouse. Here's where it gets really interesting, though.
Apple's counterpunch.
Yes. The iPhone Fold is officially slated for a September 2026 reveal, with a late September launch. And analysts are already predicting that Apple is going to use this device to rapidly seize the North American foldable market right out from under Samsung.
Which is brutal for Samsung Mobile.
Brutal. But here is the incredible irony of modern tech monopolies. Do you know who is manufacturing the specialized OLED display panels for Apple's big foldable debut?
Yeah, Samsung Display.
It's wild. Samsung Display will actually begin mass producing these panels for Apple in late June 2026. So Samsung's mobile division is going to war with Apple, while Samsung's display division is simultaneously arming Apple for that exact same war.
It perfectly highlights the complex frenemy synergy of these global supply chains. I mean, a mega conglomerate like Samsung operates its display division entirely separately from its consumer electronics division.
They just care about the bottom line.
Right. Samsung Display stands to profit massively from the iPhone Fold's success. So even when Samsung loses market share, Samsung still makes money.
It's brilliant and ruthless. But I have to push back on the strategy here a bit. Samsung had a 7-year head start. They have first mover advantage. Does Apple actually win just by showing up late with a polished version of Samsung's tech?
Well, this raises an important question, but history suggests they do win mostly because of ecosystem gravity.
Well, walled garden.
Exactly. Apple rarely invents a product category, but they have a historical habit of defining it once they finally enter. Look at MP3 players, smartphones, smartwatches. Samsung built the hardware category for foldables, but Apple has unparalleled ecosystem loyalty.
Because it's so hard to leave.
Right. When you have hundreds of millions of users completely locked into iMessage, iCloud, and the App Store, you really don't need to be first. You just need to give them a reason not to leave.
So if you're holding out for a phone upgrade right now, definitely keep your wallet ready. September 2026 is shaping up to be a historic month for mobile tech, and the landscape is going to shift dramatically.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked about protecting our digital accounts, and we've talked about the massive sums of money going into physical hardware. But let's shift gears to the digital spaces where we actually spend our time.
Good idea.
We are seeing two vastly different approaches to digital environments right now. One massive platform is implementing extreme futuristic surveillance to protect its users. Meanwhile, another platform is just retreating to the pure, unadulterated comfort of the past.
Yeah, the contrast here really exposes the tension between our desperate need for digital safety and our human desire for just, you know, low-friction escapism.
Let's start with the safety measures. Roblox. This is a digital playground with 380 million monthly active users, a massive portion of which are children.
Huge younger demographic.
Right. And starting in June 2026, Roblox is mandating extreme verification just to use their chat feature. You will literally have to use biometric facial recognition or provide a physical government ID to verify your exact age.
It's an unprecedented move for a gaming platform of that scale. I mean, they are implementing a strict, hard-coded tiered system based entirely on this biometric data.
Yeah, the tiers are incredibly rigid. So under 9 years old requires verified parental consent just to use basic chat.
Okay.
Ages 9 to 12 get peer chat only. Ages 13 to 20 get peer chat plus trusted connections. And you only unlock full, unrestricted access to the platform's social features when the system proves you are 21 or older.
That is strict.
But I have to play devil's advocate here. Isn't this exactly what lawmakers and child safety advocates have been begging tech companies to do for years?
Well, yeah, like, they are finally putting up a hard wall to protect kids from predators. Why are we criticizing them for taking it seriously?
In theory, it is exactly what advocates want. But you really have to look at the execution and the user friction involved.
The friction.
Yeah. A rigid technological solution cannot solve a complex social problem if you completely ignore human behavior. I mean, the latest reports show a massive unintended consequence to this rollout. Parents are actively helping their kids bypass the system.
Wait, parents are bypassing the safety wall that is literally meant to protect their own kids?
Yes. They are using their own adult government IDs or their own faces to register their 10-year-olds as 21 plus.
That is baffling. Why would a parent just hand their kid the keys to the digital liquor cabinet?
Because of user friction. Just imagine, right? A parent comes home after a 10-hour workday. Their kid is screaming because they can't talk to their friends on Roblox.
A nightmare scenario for any parent. Exactly. The parent doesn't want to navigate a multi-step biometric consent portal. They just scan their own face to unlock it so they can have 5 minutes of peace.
Wow. So the safety system fundamentally fails at the human level.
Exactly. And beyond the behavioral failure, this brings up massive, completely valid concerns regarding data privacy.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, a video game company is now going to be storing government IDs and facial recognition data for potentially millions of global users.
Which is a huge target for hackers.
It is. Add in the lingering questions about how accurate AI age detection software even is, especially across different ethnicities and lighting conditions, and you have a privacy nightmare just waiting to spark a massive lawsuit. It proves that you cannot force safety through technology if the users fundamentally reject the friction.
It's exhausting. I mean, you need facial recognition just to play a block game. Hackers are stealing session tokens. Graphics cards cost as much as a used Honda Civic. Honestly, looking at this landscape, I was feeling an intense level of tech fatigue.
I don't blame you.
But then, right at the end of today's news drop, there was a stark contrast. The ultimate gaming comfort food.
A total pivot to nostalgia.
Pure, unadulterated nostalgia. Nintendo is officially releasing a full ground-up remake of The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, for the upcoming Switch 2 in the second half of 2026.
Huge news for gamers.
Huge. This is timed perfectly to coincide with the franchise's 40th anniversary, which hits in February 2026. And the specs for this are just a dream. A fully modern engine, native 4K resolution at 60 frames per second when docked, a fully orchestrated soundtrack, and potentially even new quests.
It sounds amazing.
And wait, there's more. A new Star Fox game is also in the works, plus a live-action Zelda movie officially slated for May 7, 2027. I have to say, retreating into a beautifully remastered childhood classic sounds like exactly what the world needs right now.
It really is a brilliant, highly calculated counter-programming strategy by Nintendo. I mean, while the rest of the tech industry is pushing toward complex AI hardware, $3,500 GPUs, and these highly intrusive biometric safety systems, Nintendo is just leaning heavily into the emotional resonance of legacy content.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
A 4K, 60 frames per second orchestrated version of a game from 1998 offers a safe harbor. It's familiar, it's entirely self-contained, and crucially, it doesn't require a government ID to enjoy.
It's the perfect palate cleanser to a very chaotic year in tech. But as we wrap up this deep dive, we really need to pull all these threads together, because today's developments paint a very vivid picture of where we are right now.
They do.
First and foremost, you have to stay hyper-vigilant with your security. Do not blindly trust that two-factor authentication is some magic shield. As the W3LL network showed us, the bad guys can buy a $500 kit, act as the middleman, and steal your verified session token before you even realize what happened.
Yeah, and financially, you really need to brace your wallet. The economics of hardware are fundamentally shifting.
For sure.
The massive price spikes in the high-end GPU market aren't going away, because AI demand is treating consumer hardware like commercial infrastructure. And between that and the premium pricing we're bound to see with Apple's entry into the foldable space this September, cutting-edge tech is definitively becoming a luxury commodity.
And finally, if you have kids, you have to pay closer attention to the friction on these online platforms. Tools like Roblox's biometric verification are meant to help, but they are completely useless if you let convenience override safety.
Right.
Don't be the parent who scans their face just to bypass the system and avoid an argument.
It requires active, mindful participation, you know, not just passive reliance on a platform's rules.
Absolutely. But before we go, looking at all of this friction together leaves me with one final, slightly chilling thought to mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
If gaming platforms designed for children are starting to require government IDs and biometric facial scans just to use a basic chat box, and hardware like the RTX 5090 is making local AI processing infinitely more powerful, meaning it's easier than ever to fake who you are online, are we heading toward a future where our online anonymity is just entirely extinct?
Wow.
Like, will the internet of the 2030s require a mandatory hardware-level digital passport for literally everything we do?
It's a profound question about the future of digital freedom.
Yeah.
If trust completely erodes, the open web as we know it might just cease to exist.
It really is something to think about. Because if the digital deadbolts keep failing, eventually the authorities aren't just going to ask for a better lock. They're going to demand to see your ID before you're even allowed to walk up to the door. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the consensus, keep your MFA on, but verify the ground you stand on. And we will catch you next time.